I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Today on the dark side of R. Kelly. She thought she was there to interview R. Kelly. Instead, she was allegedly imprisoned, drugged, and raped. The minister who married R. Kelly and Aaliyah described their secret wedding for the first time. An R. Kelly accuser says the R&B star kept a gun by his side before forcing her to give him oral sex. That and more today on the dark side of R. Kelly.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the dark side of
that. It is, as we continue into our look at the R. Kelly trial, more developments, more testimony, and more things that have come out in the last week and even right up into today. It's just disturbing how deep and dark this whole thing goes and how many people have had encounter this way or that way with someone like with him. I mean, it's just, they're coming out of the woodwork. I mean, what are your thoughts on the amount of stories that we are now hearing about all this? Carol Hughes with us today.
You know, what's interesting is when I watched that Surviving R. Kelly, there were so many women on that, but there are so many more women besides them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these stories today that you just mentioned, they asked, why didn't you come out before?
Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't think anybody would believe me.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not like all these women got together and they knew each other. Like, someone like her experienced this, was horrified by it, fled, got out of there best she could. And it's not like she sat around and talked to other women about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my guess is once that came out and once all this started coming out, she's like, hey, me too.
Yeah.
Happened to me. It's just horrific. And the stories are just so dark. And he was just not a good guy. Like, it's just abusive. And and cruel and demeaning. And it's just like what some of these women went through is horrific.
Well, in the interview with Gayle King, when she said, so all these women that were on that documentary, they're all making it up. I mean, these are women who didn't know each other, that had never spoken to one another. And they all tell a very, very similar story about what their interactions were with you. And a detailed story at that. They're all making it up. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what, because that's what it sounded like. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then he goes on to say that they're all making it up. And when you're a guy like me, one story gets out and then suddenly you have, you know, thousands of stories and women saying that things didn't work out with them. And it's just like, that's not how this works for everyone. Like, there's plenty of other celebrities in this planet that have been sex symbols far greater than he, that, you know, may have had an allegation or two come out, but it didn't always turn into this or anything like that. I mean, this is just insane.
And I think that what he said, I don't know, in his situation, has some truth to it. But I do think that celebrities, you know, there are people who will do things like that. Well, totally
sure,
agree.
Sure.
Do I think that happened in this case? Not at all.
No, I mean,
I don't.
That will exist. Of course, that's always going to be out there. But I mean, there's that, but then there's this, where it's credible. You can trace these people to their stories, their alibis. They all check out. It's not just a crazy person saying something happened to me with celebrity A in Las Vegas, but celebrity A was in New York at the time. So what the hell are you talking about? But the lawsuit still goes through. That's not this. This is lots of people. And then the same sort of, you know, fetishes and things like that, all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, these are not things that were really out there in the media until now.
And, you know, a lot of these stories definitely have similarities. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of a really dark undertone to all of them, and abusive and all of those adjectives that you want to put in there. But they're not exactly the same.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like this one today about the intern, the radio intern. Mm-hmm. It's different slightly than what the other girls are saying.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're all telling the exact same story. It's kind of the exact same darkness and, mm-hmm. you know, just horrific things that happened to them, but they are different.
Yeah.
So that, to me, lends even more credibility to what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be, with the amount of people coming forward in this thing, I don't know how he's going to come out of this. I don't know. I mean,
and if he was to come out of it, there's still two other states.
Yeah.
That he'll have to. And he's not going to. I don't know how. I just don't.
The only.
What would he say in his defense?
The only.
Oh, everybody's lying but me.
Only thing I could see happening is if state number one puts him into some sort of sentence that's just so, you know, it goes past his lifetime, that the other states say, we're just going to drop these because we don't want to spend the time prosecuting this for someone who's already going to be in this state forever. And then if somehow they find a loophole to have that ruling overturned in that one state, that's how he could get free again, because in the other two states had already dropped their cases and they'd have to bring him back on, which isn't to say that they wouldn't, but just for like a procedural issue or something like that, how courts throw things out all the time like that. So don't count the chickens until they're hatched. That's why I would say that the other places should just, can you like indefinitely just hold the charges over someone and wait?
Because we were counting those Bill Cosby chickens and
exactly.
Then look what the hell happened.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm saying like something like that, if there was like a Cosby type thing that happened with Kelly,
you're right,
then he's out and the other two states drop their cases. Then what do you do? I mean, did the other two states bring it back? I mean, they could.
Or whoops, somebody offered him immunity. We didn't realize that, I guess. I still think that's weird. They should have known better.
I That just is such a weird concept to me. We offer, you can like immunity for whatever you're about to say, or did they know what he's saying before they offer the immunity?
I don't know. And then to say, we're going to offer you immunity for basically confirming everything this woman said. And then whoops, another guy came in and just didn't read what we had offered him. Like, that just makes no sense to me. Somebody needs to get fired for that shit.
I know.
I don't get how, I don't know. I'm not a prosecutor, but it just seems like to me, if one guy said that, it's in the record somewhere. Oh, P.S. I did offer him immunity for all the shit that he said. Okay, maybe that isn't exactly what it would say.
But to me, that's a crazy concept too, because, okay, you're offering him immunity, but these other people at that time had not pressed any sort of charges yet. So why would, I mean, they don't have a say because someone else already offered him immunity?
Only thing in the Cosby case is, the only thing that makes me think that is so many of those cases were really old, and there was only like one, maybe two, because there's apparently another one that's brewing right now, but that was within the statute of limitations. So he could admit to anything else because that was outside of the statute of limitations. But somehow he implicated himself in that case as well. But I don't know. That doesn't make sense.
I don't know. All right, well, let's go to our first part of the R. Kelly story tonight. It's from BuzzFeed. She thought she was there to interview R. Kelly. Instead, she was allegedly imprisoned, drugged, and raped. The woman testified she feared coming forward after being told by the singer's associates, "Don't fuck with Mr. Kelly." When the 21-year-old radio station intern flew from Salt Lake City to Chicago in 2003, she thought she was on her way to an interview that would jumpstart her broadcasting career. Instead, she says she was locked in a room for days, deprived of food and water, and raped while unconscious by the very man she thought she'd be interviewing, R. Kelly. "I was scared," said the woman, Sonia, now 39. "I was ashamed. I was embarrassed." Sonia, one of several women Kelly is accused of sexually assaulting, testified Thursday in the Brooklyn federal court, where the singer is facing charges of sex trafficking and racketeering. He's pled not guilty. Sonia, who was identified in court only by her first name, told the jury she first met the R&B singer outside a Utah mall. The young radio intern had heard he was doing an appearance and approached him for an interview. "It would have been my first big celebrity interview," she said. "I thought it would really just kickstart my career." Arrangements were eventually made for her to fly to Chicago studio, but as she soon arrived, Sonia began feeling uncomfortable. She said an employee of Kelly's had greeted her and asked her some crazy questions, including whether she needed protection, a question she did not initially understand. "Then he just came out and said, 'Do you need a condom?'" Sonia testified, "No, I'm not here for that." Sonia said she was then asked if her ID, asked for her ID and cell phone, from which the employee wrote down several phone numbers and her family members and friends of her recent call list. She was then made to sign a non-disclosure agreement, which she said she did not read in full because the room was too dark. Another employee went through her luggage. She was informed of several rules she had to follow there, including that she wasn't allowed to look up or talk to anybody during Kelly's trial. Several women have testified that they were subjected to extremely controlling, oppressive, and violent behavior while in the singer's company. Sonia said she was then left alone in a room inside the studio. A few minutes later, when she realized she could not open the door, she became frightened. "It was locked from the outside," she said. Sonia spent the next 3 or 4 days locked in that room, she said, banging on the door and repeatedly calling the studio's reception to be let out. There were no windows, no bathroom. Whenever she had to use the toilet, she would have to call reception and be escorted there. Sometimes an employee would make her leave the bathroom door open while she was in there, she said. She said she wasn't given anything to eat or drink for at least 2 days, and then she was offered Chinese food and a cup of Sprite. Despite being very hungry, she said she became extremely full and tired after consuming very little. The next thing she remembered was waking up on the couch. Her underwear was hanging on the couch arm and it was wet. White fluid on her thighs and vaginal area. It felt like something had been inside her, she said. Kelly was in the corner, Sonia said, doing up his pants. Despite having been unconscious, Sonia said she quickly came to believe that she had been sexually assaulted. It just made me feel like something happened to me, she said. I know my body. I know when something's not right. Disoriented, she approached Kelly. He said, he grabbed my butt with both hands and pulled me closer. Kelly then told her he'd be back, she said, but he never returned. A few minutes later, one of his employees entered the room, apologized, and said Kelly wouldn't be returning because some things came up. He told her she could go home. But first, she testified she was made to sign a second non-disclosure agreement, which the employee punctuated with the threat. He said, don't fuck with Mr. Kelly. The employee allegedly told Sonia not to tell anyone about what had happened, telling her her address and phone number, as well as those of several of her family members, the name of her infant child who was back at her home with her family. Kelly's defense team quizzed Sonia on why she did not use her cell phone to call the police while she was being held in the room, to which she said she didn't think they would believe her, and she was worried about the singer's team having her loved one's information, a fear, she said, that became more explicit following threats from the employees. I didn't think anyone would believe me, she said. 16 years later, when the docuseries Surviving R. Kelly aired, Sonia retained an attorney and told her story to federal prosecutors. Sonia's testimony is the first time during this trial Kelly has been accused of what was implied as drugging and raping a victim, although prosecutors never explicitly used the word drugged. Kelly's defense attorney, Devereaux Shenick, attempted to cast doubt on Sonia's testimony due to her lack of memory from being unconscious during the alleged rape. At one point, Shenick also questioned whether it was the food that made Sonia drowsy. Was it MSG, he asked? There's no scientific evidence that monosodium glutamate, an ingredient and often used in Chinese food, has any negative health effects, causes fatigue. Such claims are largely rooted in racism. How do you know it was the food that made you drowsy? Shenick asked Sonia. What else could it have been? She responded. Also on Thursday, another alleged victim, Anna, testified about her abuse relationship with Kelly, which went on from around late 2016 to 2018, starting when she was around 19 or 20. Like many of his other accusers, Anna and Kelly forced her to follow strict rules, spanked her when she broke them, and made her have unwanted sexual encounters with himself as well as other alleged victims. Like other women, he allegedly also forced her to write letters that contained damaging untruths as a form of collateral, including one that falsely stated her father had molested her, and another that claimed her mother was blackmailing Kelly. Kelly would occasionally make Anna record videos of herself as punishments. She testified, including one where she was made to walk back and forth while naked and calling herself stupid and a slut. In another video, Anna and Kelly made her to be sexual and seductive with bodily fluids. She did not further specify what she was made to do in the video, but another alleged victim previously testified she made her make a video as punishment in which she smeared her face with feces. Oh my God. So this, I mean, a lot of this, it sounds reminiscent of like torture techniques in the Middle East, to be quite honest. It's like if we were like putting someone on trial and saying like they were doing this to people, it would be like violating the Geneva Convention.
Right.
And here we are, and R. Kelly's still been able to like kind of get away with this shit allegedly for how long? I mean, shit. I mean, if there was like fucking tapes or something like that came out of, you know, some sort of, you know, horrible, you know, terror nation with this sort of shit on it, everybody would be freaking the fuck out. But it's like, it's R. Kelly. He's got that one jam I had at my wedding. I'll forgive him.
Still love that song.
I still love that song. You know? It's like, look, this is the shit this guy allegedly was doing.
I'm going to be really curious, like, more of the defense. Like, this whole MSG thing. Like, how fucking ridiculous is that?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And like, maybe if they'd had the MSG excuse in, like, what, the 80s, before all of that was disputed? Well, when people really did think MSG was horrible?
Well, here's the funny thing. I mean, okay, so depending on the age of the jurors, maybe half of them understood that joke.
Yeah.
Because you had to be around when that was a thing. And if you weren't, you'd have no clue.
You're right.
So it's like, it's just, it sounds like a joke being made by someone who's like really, they're out of touch socially as to what, you know, is talked
or
about.
Are they?
Or, yeah.
You know, but I think the woman who is the radio intern, that story, when I read it, I totally related to. Not that anything like that's happened to me, but I get it.
Yeah.
Like, working in radio for so long, and it was really hard to break into. It's a really, really hard business to break into, especially now. But so for her to be 21 years old, she's the intern, and she gets an R. Kelly interview. Everybody at the station's like, what the hell? You're going to interview R. Kelly? You're the intern. Mm-hmm. Like, that shit never happens. And they're flying you. What? And I think that R. Kelly's people were like, yeah, you can interview him, and we're going to fly you there.
Red flag number one.
Although he's R. Kelly. And so everyone at the station would have been going, that sucks, man. Like, how'd she get that scoop? I wanted to interview R. Kelly.
Because R. Kelly wants to fuck her. That'd be like my first thing I'd be thinking.
But, you know, chances are everybody's like, holy shit, they're paying for you to go there? Like, that's amazing. And or they just didn't believe it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, right. Wink, wink. R. Kelly's doing that. No way. And so she goes because she thinks that's her break, which I totally get that.
Sure.
And then for her to get there and that happened to her, like, and I just find that whole story to be very believable.
I don't understand his whole, like, dungeon-ish type shit where it's like prisoner, you know, I don't get this. Like, what is that all about? Is it control? I mean, if you want them to, like, stay and be happy with you, what the fuck are you doing? I mean,
oh, I don't think he ever wanted that.
Okay.
I think it was all about submission and control.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with happiness. Like, in fact, that's probably the last thing he wanted.
Because that's the thing. Someone like R. Kelly could totally pull off having like two or three wives or just all living girlfriends completely legally. And no one would care if it wasn't in this creepy cultish manner. If it was just because they like that's their lifestyle, because some people have that lifestyle, he could find people. And I would think, you know, it could be nobody be like, as long as he's not with kids. But
yeah.
But the thing is, it's this weird, underhanded, fucked up way of.
And, you know, chances are there's something that happened to him at some point that got everything off track for him.
He was molested by an aunt or an uncle. I forgot.
So everything gets off track for him. And then you add in that fame and power on top of it. And I think it just became super warped.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, but it's so bizarre to me because at the same time, you know, professionally, he was on top of his game.
Yeah.
Like, he's putting out great music. He's touring. He's shit. All those guys, you know, not all of them, but, you know, like, lots of people who are big touring artists have had, like, some pretty crazy-ass shit happen while they're on the road. We just don't hear about it.
Yeah.
So I get that, but this is a whole different level.
It's
I mean, I'm not saying that crazy ass shit while they're on the road is okay, but what happens between two people's their business.
Yeah.
But it's when you're holding people captive.
Yeah. That's yeah.
And you're blackmailing them and you're making them write these letters and do these videos and smear shit all over themselves. You know, it's like there's a humiliation and this blackmail thing so they don't feel like they can come forward. And good Lord, when you're 21 years old. And you've got R. Kelly holding something over your head. You'd be like, hey, I'm out. Just let me out of here. I'll never say a word.
You know, the thing is, I don't think R. Kelly's all that bright. And what I wonder about, I think he very
Who are these fucking people around him? Like, who are the people?
I think, you know, as an artist, I think he was a very prolific songwriter and composer. He certainly has talent there. But I think when it comes to social situations and that sort of things, I think he's very, very dense. And I think he very much is someone... I'm curious who's fed him all this stuff.
Because who are the people around him who are enabling him and continue to enable him and knew the shit that was going on and knew it wasn't right.
Yeah.
And they didn't help these women.
I think, you know, they knew like he could, you know, he'll go along with it because he'll go along with whatever we tell him to do. And then he kind of builds up his own ego to this, you know, monstrosity that it became. But I just think at the beginning, it was like, you know, a lot of people feeding him. And this is like this egotistical monster that was created because he was so moldable in that way. And this is what you get. It's not an excuse for anything, but that's how I think you basically, it's the recipe for this disaster that ended up happening.
Well, and then once again, and we've talked about this with famous people, when there's no one around you to tell you no and put the brakes on.
Yeah.
When everyone around you is enabling that crazy ass behavior,
it
just gets out of control. And these people are around him because of money or they get a great place to live. I don't know. I can't imagine just looking the other way because I'm making good money.
Yeah.
That's not me. But, you know, when everyone around him is enabling him, then I think that just feeds on it.
Yeah.
Like, if everybody seems to be like catering to your every whim, as distorted and demented as your whims are, then doesn't it just start feeding off itself? And then it just gets bigger and
crazier. That's what I think it ended up getting.
It's like a freaking cancer.
Let's look here. This is the minister who married R. Kelly and Aaliyah. Has described their secret wedding now for the first time. Nathan Edmonds said he had agreed to never speak about the ceremony until he was subpoenaed to testify on Kelly's sex trafficking and racketeering trial. For years, the story of R. Kelly's marriage to 15-year-old Aaliyah Houghton was shrouded in mystery. The two denied it had even taken place, even after the marriage license was published by the media. But on Wednesday, during Kelly's federal racketeering and sex trafficking trial in Brooklyn, the minister who married the two singers on August 31st, 1994, spoke publicly for the very first time. Nathan Edmond, now 73, told the court he had never met either Kelly or Houghton prior to the ceremony and had not known who they were. I didn't think it was anybody special. I didn't understand it at all, Edmond said in his testimony, which took place over a video conference call. Edmond spoke after being subpoenaed, and he acknowledged that he did not especially want to be taking the stand. According to the federal indictment against Kelly, he met Houghton while she was 12 years old, and he began a sexual relationship with the young teen. Prosecutors allege that Kelly married her because he believed she was pregnant and that it could keep her from testifying against him. Kelly was previously charged with bribing an official in Illinois to get a fake ID for Houghton, and the marriage license falsely listed her age as 18. Edmond was then called to handle the ceremony. A friend of Mr. Kelly's, who was also a friend and associate of mine, asked me to do him a favor. Edmond recalled Kelly's friend, Keith Williams, knew Edmond because they both worked in the real estate area, Edmond said. It was a quick ceremony, about 10 minutes or less, at a hotel in Chicago suburbs, Edmond said. The only attendees were himself, Kelly, Houghton, Williams, and about three other gentlemen, which Edmond did not know. Before conducting a ceremony, Edmond said she was asked to sign a confidentiality agreement, but he refused, saying it didn't look legally sound. I looked at it, I read it, then I kind of chuckled and said it wasn't worth the paper it was written on. Instead, he was asked to give his word that he would never speak about the ceremony, to which he agreed. He was offered somewhere between $25 and $50 to officiate, but he declined the money, he said. For the wedding ceremony, Edmond said Kelly and Houghton wore matching jogging suits, each with one pants leg rolled up to the knee. You couldn't see her whole face because her hair was over her face, Edmond said of the teenage singer. Edmond had been contacted by the media over the years, he said, but until Wednesday, had never spoken publicly about the wedding ceremony. I like matching jogging suits. That's nice.
Who doesn't love a matching
and especially when
suit?
You pull that
when
one
marrying an underage girl
and you pull that one thing up to your knee on each, that's the sign of unity.
Like, so adorable. Our wedding pictures are going to be great.
I wonder if anyone's ever like decided to emulate that for their wedding day. Or maybe they wouldn't, because this is the first time that this information came out.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I wonder if anyone will emulate that in their wedding ceremony. It's like, oh, our favorite artists are R. Kelly and Aaliyah. And it's just, we want to be just like them.
Tonight I celebrate my love. You know, I just think that that would be really effed up if somebody did that. And now that you've said that, you've put the thought out into the universe, so somebody will.
I want to see the pictures, so you'd have to do it.
Oh, my God. You know what? If it's not, somebody's going to do it. You know, that's going to be a Halloween thing.
Yeah. I mean,
you be super twisted.
And you have to do it at like the Howard Johnson or something. That's where the wedding has to take place. And it has to be, you know, like the Enchanted Grotto area that used to be a holodome and whatever's left of it, maybe next to the cigarette machine that shouldn't be there. Something like that would be great.
So you have to put quarter after quarter after quarter after quarter in to get a damn pack of cigarettes these days.
I know. I mean, you could totally do that. There's a lot of ways you could really make that tacky as hell. Maybe go to a friend's house or something, do it in the living room, you know, between some ferns. That would be a good one too.
I wonder if anybody's ever done that before.
I wonder, you know, whatever. So, lots of craziness there with, R. Kelly. The R. Kelly accuser says the R&B star kept a gun by his side before forcing her to give him oral sex. Singer instructed me to act like an excited puppy. Six alleged victims testify at a sex trafficking trial. One of R. Kelly's accusers testified that the singer kept a gun by his side as the singer forced her to give him oral sex in a Los Angeles music studio and instructed her to act like an excited puppy. Okay. The witness who took the stand was identified only as Faith, testified about her terrifying encounter with the singer when she was 19 during the R&B singer's sex trafficking trial in a New York federal court on Wednesday. The sixth alleged victim of the singer said during her fourth trip to meet up with Kelly in 2018, the singer took her into a small room in the Los Angeles music studio, and when she noticed a gun lying on the ottoman, he sternly told her, "Don't look at it." She then testified that Kelly, 54, began inquiring about her sexual history, asking her, "How many men have you seen naked?" She warned her if she lied, there would be an issue. The witness testified that Kelly made her strip and perform oral sex on him against her will. "He had a weapon, so I wasn't going to step out of line," she said, as to why she went through with the sexual act. Afterwards, she said Kelly told her he likes a woman that reminds him of a puppy, his daughter, or of his mom, and added, "I still have a lot to teach you." Jesus Christ. "I like a woman that..." That's got to be like the most insane line anyone has ever spoken to a woman. You know, it's like you just get done, totally romantic. We should let's get a little music here so we can. So I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I really like a woman that reminds me of what is it? What do you like, R? "I like a woman that reminds me of a puppy, my daughter, or my mom."
Are you serious?
What?
Like, a puppy? How effed up is
a
that?
A dog, or my mom?
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no. Mm-mm. I'm out of here.
What? Bark, bark, arf, arf, huh? World was on fire. I think that might be how it should go.
But when
he's got the gun, I get what happened.
Here. Oh, wait, I would be here, except for that gun.
He's got
that's
a gun.
Right there.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, he put it there for that simple reason. You know,
absolutely.
God.
Absolutely. That's why he did that.
That one was from the Daily Mail. But God.
It's all so messed up. And it's just too, like, all of these stories, like I said earlier, are different. But they're all equally twisted and demented and effed up.
It's all things that could have come from the same character.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's and there are things that there's a lot of different scenarios, but there's a lot of things within the scenarios that are similar. So
Right. There's,
you know, the call me daddy, there's all these very specific things that you just go, this is far beyond just one person or, you know, a stray couple that will attack someone of his nature, regardless of if he's done anything or not. This is, you know, it's a tidal wave. And I think it's something where my guess is, you know, it happens so frequently. God only knows how many women were, you know, either, you know, victimized or, you know, just from every small interaction to a concierge in a hotel.
You know, there has to be a lot of women out there who to this day don't want to come forward.
Exactly.
Because they were so traumatized.
Exactly. From small to big.
It takes some courage to get out on such a public stage and say something that humiliating.
Yeah. I mean, especially with, you know, when the entourage and he, you know, pretty much, you know, scared people into silence, allegedly. It's just mind-boggling that this could go on. And what's mind-boggling to me the most, quite honestly, is the record label going, we had no idea. No idea. Mm-mm. I don't think you can completely have no idea. Maybe not to like the supers, like, you know, in the room details, but you kind of got to have...
Everybody knows the rumors.
Yeah. I mean, like in the room, like having a conversation between him and another person. But yeah, I mean,
but
my God,
heard the rumors.
You got a studio. You have like people like hidden in different rooms in your building, and you have people coming and going from the record company and whatnot, and nobody realizes anything. Nobody's like, that's kind of odd. Oh, this is your cousin in town? Okay, yeah. It looks like she needs a new bowl of water. You know, it's just like, what the fuck? But he was a cash cow for him. So It was just, we don't know. We don't know. He's a pimp. He's a pimp. Just keep portraying him as a pimp. And they did. It's like, oh, what? No, he's not. No, now we said pimp, not predator. What the fuck? There's a spell check. And then it went to predator and it never came back. But yeah.
Messed up. So messed up.
That's going to wrap
up. And it's not over.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no. It's not over. It's far from over, children. We're just getting started on our weekly looks at R. Kelly here on the dark side of Wikipedia. Or, sorry, just dark side of. I'm still used to saying that. And we're doing a dark side of R. Kelly on Fridays as we go through the trial over the coming weeks for however long that is. We'll keep you up to date here on the dark side of. For Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side of.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.